everybody, to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a beautiful day, and I'm so happy that you've taken time out of your schedule to spend it with myself. Promised, I told you the last time we did a show that my special guest for that particular show, Professor Doho, was coming back, and we are very fortunate to be able to have him back for part two of a fabulous interview that we did a few weeks ago titled Ethnicity and Nation Building in Francophone Africa. That was part one. There was so much information in there. You can't fit everything into one show, 1 hour show. So we figured we had to do a part two just to make sure that we get everything in, because this is such a powerful, powerful topic. And we want to do it justice. We don't want to just skim over it. We want to be able to delve into it and to really bring out points that we know that you will be interested in, and not just interested in, but will be able to grow from. Now, if you're listening online and you'd like to make a comment, the call-in number is 515-605-9727. Again, that's 515-605-9727. I see the calls are starting to come in now. So again, thank you so much for taking time out to spend it with my guest, and we're going to have an awesome, awesome hour tonight. Again, my special guest tonight is Professor Gilbert Doho. He's Associate Professor of French and Francophone Studies and Founding Director of Ethnic Studies Program at Case Western Reserve University in Ohio. And again, his resume is so long. He's got so many things that he does. I'm just very, very fortunate enough to he's made time for us today, because, I mean, when you have a person that is a servant, and when I say a servant, I mean somebody that just gives of themselves. They've been blessed to have been the recipient of information, of knowledge, of wisdom, and they make time to share that, to empty themselves, to share it with those who want to hear it, with those who are willing to become a vessel to be filled. And so that's what I am. I'm a vessel to be filled, and I want to make sure that I'm not being selfish with Professor Doho, because we have conversations that, oh, my God, they can go on and on and on, and I get filled, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to get fed as well. So it's without further ado that I welcome you back, Professor Doho. My brother, it's always an honor every time I have an opportunity to speak with you. Thank you for being my guest again today.
Let me say it in this particular day where I have some bittersweet to start this program. And here you are, you put Bob Marley, Exodus, one of the hit that came at the summum of his time. He's going to die a few years after Exodus. But I'm saying, and today I'm saying, because of what Georgia has done, because of Stacey Abraham, because of the African-American ethnic or color people of the Georgia, they came out resoundingly this election or past this election years or moment to say, you know what, Africa is a nation of ethnies, and everybody has its place in America. And contrary to those who, after the civil rights war, thought that or preached that Africans or people of African descent should go back to their own roots in Africa, preaching a kind of exodus of my people back to Africa, I say no. Our own place is here in America. And African-Americans are part and parcel of this nation. They form an ethnic group within this nation. And America is a nation of ethnicity, and each ethnicity has the right by the White House. And what we are seeing in Washington, D.C., from a group, an ethnic or a composite of ethnic groups, who for 400 years thought they would be, they have the priority, they have the privileges of everything. The nation is shaking, but shaking towards the right direction. Now I have a dream. I have a dream that one day, a Native American, would climb the march of the Capitol or the White House, and then say, "This is my own nation." I have a dream, and that dream, believe me, I'm beginning to see it today. And that's why I say thank you so much, my friend, for accepting me today, that we continue to talk about ethnicity or ethnic groups and nation building. And I say it again, America is a nation of ethnic groups. What do I say? It's a nation that has, even now that I'm speaking, clans, which is the teeny minority of the division, with common language, blood, and so on. You move up, it's a tribe, then you move out, it's the complex ethnicity. That's what America is. That's what my people, my brown and black people, we are within this nation. And since the Atlantic Ocean, under the belly of sometimes monstrosity, they are here, and then they say, yes, we are here to build this nation. America, after 400 years, will continue to be built. How much more for my Africa, my complex African continent, with 54 countries? I would say 55, because Sudan, Sudan was one country. Right? It's now 52 Sudan, right? South Sudan and North Sudan. So thank you, my friend, for giving me this opportunity so that we continue to discuss or push the discussion forward to say that the colonial division of Africa into the present day 55 nations, which were colonial territory, which were people coerced into a territory, which were people who were imposed the Eurocentric conception of a nation, which were people from various ethnic groups, which were a group of people, when I'm talking of, let's say, Ethiopia, or when I talked of Sudan, or when I talked of my native Cameroon, we are talking of various ethnic groups which still continue to be there. And the problem today for us is to ask, why? Why can't they live together, a nation of ethnicities or ethnic groups like the United States of America? Why? That's the question we should ask ourselves. In other words, how do we explain that after the so-called proclamation of the former colonial territories into nations after the Second World War? After that, well, some come into it fighting. Some didn't fight. The Algerians fought, carried arms and fought, and they kicked the French out of their territory to become a nation. Yes, from that perspective, they developed the value that they share together, whether you are a Berber and so on. Because of that fight, it's something they share together. They form a nation. But I cannot say
interesting is when we talk about ethnicity and when we speak of Africa, oftentimes people, when they think of Africa or when they hear the word Africa, they think of sub-Saharan Africa. But Libya is a part of Africa. Okay, so in other northern countries. in Africa that people don't just readily think of when they think of Africa. They normally think of black Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. So when you're talking about ethnicity, are you, just so that we're laying the foundation for the discussion, where you're talking specifically, are you not limiting the discussion to sub-Saharan Africa, but speaking primarily about sub-Saharan Africa?
Of course, no. I'm not talking only of what you call black Africa. Sub-Saharan Africa, which is a derogatory, which is a Eurocentric nominations of this part of the continent. In fact, the Eurocentric, or what you call the center's delimitation of Africa. You have North Africa, which they derogatively say it's Muslim and so on and so forth. And then you have Sub-Sahara, and then you have Africa in the south around East Africa, and then the south with South Africa and so on. All these delimitations still continue to be European scholars deciding for who we are and what we are. When I talked of various ethnic groups, man, I do not emulate North Africa. I do not emulate the South. I do not emulate the East. No. We are, and I say it again, this derogatory perception of groups of people sharing the same ancestors, having the same blood, speaking the same language, and then probably living the same sacred, and they call it a clan. And when you raise up, and then you have a tribe, which is a conglomeration of a number of people, clans, and when you go up again, having what we call ethnic groups, which is again a number of people who have come to accept themselves, interact themselves various ways. We can take years to talk about all that. That delineation, now I say it again, from the clan to the tribe to the ethnic, as you move forward, it becomes complicated. It's not only the problem of Africa south of the Sahara Desert. No. North Africa is the same thing. China is even the same thing. Japan is even the same thing. Europe, France, Britain is the Breton. Can you tell me that the Breton would declare himself as the same thing who is from the south of France, etc., etc.? No, come on. We are nations of ethnies all over the world. And as global, the global perspective, the opening, transportation makes it that people move left and out. That, how will I say, delimiting clan, a tribe, and an ethnic within a territory that has been blown up, man. What I'm simply saying is, Jovenza, the African-American, or what I call the black and brown ethnic groups, it's not only all those people who live here in the United States of America and who are disseminated in all the 50 states and who have a number of leaders who are there. Tell me, brown and black Africans, what my friend Bennett talked about, the historical diaspora of Africa. I mean, those who came through slavery, and then what she called the Atlantic. Tell me, when they talked of leaders of an ethnic groups, tell me if they consider Barack Obama as a leader. If they consider, and I can quote all of them who have struggled, and Obama saying they have marched on the shoulders of the dead people to be where they are. They form an ethnic group within this diverse America. No. They're not only here in America. No. Some of them live outside the United States of America. They're part of it. They empower those who live here in America. And they continue to fight. Stacey Abraham, I do not know. If I interview that woman, she might probably tell you that somewhere in the world, there is somebody at one point who has told her, continue to fight for your ethnic group. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying. That's the opportunity we are saying. And that's why I say I have a dream that Americans of various ethnic groups, including the Native American, should one day have the road to the White House. It doesn't belong to a specific group. Oh, yes, for 400 years, a group have believed that it is their privilege. But I'm saying that's not what it is. And I can extend it to Africa, to these 55 countries. Of course, we're fighting and killing one another. Why? Idea. This, how will I say, a group together. The Tikar people, they're all over. They're in cities, but they are back home. But as they move forward, various ethnic groups, they would understand. And if they are given opportunity, that if you are a Tikar and you are on your land, and you can move to the west and to the south of Cameroon and be part and excel there and work and succeed and have all the privilege that all those who are there, that will work. I say, why not? That's what America has come to be. Africa is
well, let's
yet
talk
to be
for a moment, Professor,
point.
About the
Africa
ability.
Africa is yet to be at that point.
Professor, let's talk for a moment about the ability to define or the power to define, and as a result of being that the in a position of defining other cultures, labeling other cultures, saying, okay, for example, this group of people, you know, they're this or that group of people is that, and the acceptance of the definition by the people being labeled, okay, and the results of that, okay, because if you don't have the power to identify or to define yourself, then your identity can be either given to you by someone who may or may not have your best interest at heart. Okay, so, but if you can't define yourself, even say as a nation, what are the components of that? What are the components of a nation and the components of being able to, or the components of self-identity, so that, again, in laying the foundation, when we're talking about nation building, if you don't know who you are, if you don't have an identity, or if your identity was given to you by someone else, then it seems like nation building would be an uphill battle.
Okay. Let me say it. The Eurocentric uniformation of people of different background into what we call a nation under a flag, under, I don't know, an anthem, etc., etc. That Eurocentric perspective still reflected in the United States of America has been imposed in the African countries because the former colonies, the former territory turned nations after World War II. They become Senegal, Algeria, and so on and so forth. But what does it mean to be an Algerian? Who even, in terms of for Cameroon or for Cote d'Ivoire, for Senegal, who even choose the anthem of Cameroon? Who decided... wrote the constitution of quote-unquote, I mean, I'm giving you the determinant of what you call an identity of a nation from the perspective of Western world colonizers or imperialistic. I'm giving you that, okay?
Yes.
So, I mean, who choose the green color of Nigeria? Who even give the name Nigeria to Nigerians? And you remember... Cote d'Ivoire or Burkina Faso today. It wasn't called Burkina Faso before. It was called Upper Volta. What of Gold Coast? You know, what country was called Gold Coast? Do you know that country?
Rhodesia, that as we talked about.
Gold Coast. No, Gold Coast was Ghana, okay? Kita. And Rhodesia, what was Rhodesia? It had been split into. What I'm simply saying, when you let other people determine your identity, of course you lose a lot and you keep on fighting one another for nothing. It is not the uniform or the same clothes of the United States of America that should determine who is an American from African-American perspective. If you choose that uniformity, when they will say, okay, the ideal from Eurocentric perspective identity, the ideal American is Martin Luther King. They will exclude this hero, because I also call him a hero. Malcolm X. Why do you accept Martin Luther King and you reject Malcolm X? Come on, give me a script. They form part and parcel of the African-American ethnic group. The same thing concerning Africa. What does it mean to be a Cameroonian with a C for a country that was colonized by the German, and with a Cameroonian with a K? What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. If a group of people, well, by the Eurocentric perspective, capture the power that be. And by this, I mean the coercive power, military, police, and so on. And then the monetary power, they capture that in order to determine who your identity is. What does it mean to be a Cameroonian? What does it mean to be a Nigerian? This, with a green, they will tell you that the flag of Nigeria. And so, what does it mean? No, it doesn't mean anything. What I'm simply saying is, you are a Yoruba Nigerian, an Igbo Nigerian, a Hausa Nigerian, and we can continue, and you have the 300 other ethnic groups in Nigeria, the same thing. Now, if we begin to accept ourselves, Juvenza is from an ethnic group who had its own determinant of identity. And Juvenza is bringing that determinant of its identity into a common factor that the Chinese American, being in the conclaves of the Chinatown, because this Chinese in the conclave town, he cannot live in Brooklyn or in other places, because they will persecute him over there, because of etc. He goes there. But if we accept that, if he is reduced to a conclave, because other people do not accept him to circulate all over America and feel that, you know what, I have my parcel of America, whether I am in North Carolina or in Utah and so on, and I'm Chinese, and despite of my moving all over and I belong to the Chinese perspective, because the Chinese people thousands of years before have had elements of identity that can bring in order to form the complex identity of America. Do they not say the United States of America? Why? And I mean, then even the name of the country tells you that you have to let people from their own ethnic group perspective develop elements of their identity, be proud of elements of their identity, and share it with other people who have elements of their identity, and all of them, they had one common element that they can share together, which is I can be free in the United, the land of the free people. Tell me, no person belonging to his own ethnic group or enclave or clan can never say that what it is said, the land of the free, is something that is just in the air. If not, somebody like Trump, who is the president of the republic, who despite the fact that he should be the president, listen, let me finish before you move forward, who despite the fact that he is the president of all Americans, see it through the lenses of all his own people, and he sent his people to go to the Capitol and they march in there, and you have the guard who do not go on them, crush them, who let them, all of us, including the extremist Ku Klux Klan. They know that this country, in addition to personal ethnic groups, there are common values that this country has that nobody can remove it. That's where Trump is going to be kicked out of the country, out the White House, because he comes in there with so extremist vision that he doesn't even belong there. The person who goes in there is a person who should understand that America is a nation of ethnic groups, and every
so my question to you is this,
right,
let's say for example, Professor, let's say for example, you take several African nations, countries, quote, end quote. Or let's say, for example, like when we talked before about the OAU, and you had a group of African countries that decided, okay, we want to come together, we want to unite, we want to, you know, form, I guess, this bloc or this community or this nation, this one nation, or even if it wasn't the whole of Africa. Or let's say, for example, you took a couple of small countries, like, or even Togo, say, you know, a smaller country like Togo, and another small country, and decided that, you know, we want to unite. Now, in one nation, and build a nation. Now, within that, the confines or the borders of Togo, you may have, God only knows how many different ethnic groups, quote, tribes, end quote. Okay, some with even within that, within the borders, some may speak French, some may speak English. So whose model do you use? Whose currency do you use? Because, of course, currency is going to play a role. I mean, now, a very important role in that. I mean, when you're exchanging currency for goods, you know, goods and services, you know, bartering. I mean, whose model do you, I mean, even when it comes to culture, because you have these various traditions, very, very long traditions, you know, very great long traditions. So when building a nation, and within that nation you have so many different groups with different traditions, whose model, how do you come up with the model to form that nation?
Here we go again with the Eurocentric perspective of the vision of what a nation building is. Let me ask you a question. You've talked of Ghana. Do you know how many languages were spoken in Ghana before the British occupied Ghana?
I don't know,
do
but
you know
I
how
I
many
languages?
Listen. And Ghana has. Do you know how many ethnic groups existed in Ghana? I can extend it to all those 55 countries that are in Africa. Do you know how many languages they were speaking?
How many?
I can extend it. Now, the question for me to ask you is, and the French came for a country like my own, Cameroon, and handpicked a few individuals to perpetrate the Eurocentric vision of a nation whereby there is should be only one language, one currency, one this, etc. And that language would be French and English. Do you know how many ethnic groups since the 1960s for French Cameroon and 1961 for Francophone, for Federal Republic of Cameroon, the Anglophone? Do you know how many languages have been spoken in Cameroon before,
many,
during, and after, so many. So tell me, why do you want to impose French and English as the official language of Cameroon, living together, living apart, many other languages? Have Cameroon?
I was asking it as a question. I wasn't suggesting.
Have they told you that they are? Have you told
Wait a minute, Professor. I just want to make it clear.
I wasn't
suggesting that there be one currency.
No, it's okay.
No.
This is rhetoric, right? Don't worry. Don't take it personally. I'm just telling you that this is what is happening. That
okay.
It's an aberration that following the colonization of the continent, and the former colonial master wrote the constitution of those countries, imposed their language to become the official language because they believed that having 200 or 300 ethnic groups in Nigeria, 250 ethnic groups in Cameroon, they cannot speak among themselves except they speak in French and English, which was an aberration. How many people in Cameroon spoke French and English by the time the French people left Cameroon? How many people spoke French and English in Nigeria by the time the English left Nigeria? Not many. Just a few individuals. And those few individuals, because the English language opened what you might call privileges to them, since those people accepted with the help of the Eurocentric imperialism to form what you call new nations, they were handpicked and put at the head of the government, and they continue to perpetrate and tell you that, oh, you know, many languages in many ethnic groups in that cannot favor nation building. It's wrong. The same thing with the United States of America, to say that those who are, you know, I traveled to Israel. When I first came to U.S., I tried to learn my, to know my country because I'm also American today. I took the Greyhound to travel all over America. And then I went to, when I found myself to San Diego, oh my goodness, I had to revive my Spanish. The Spanish that I learned for 4 years when I was in ASO in Macamon. Because when you are in areas like San Diego, you have to speak Spanish, man. Now tell me, has it made San Diego less a state of the United States of America? No, what I'm simply saying is the more languages you leave to blossom, the more culture from various ethnic groups, clan and so on, you leave to develop, everybody should develop that. It makes of the nation a powerful nation. And the example of, sometimes I say, the United States of America does not understand what the power of the United States of America is from your diversity. It's because after everybody knows that I have the determining factor of my ethnic group, I have a sheer determining ethnic group. I say, you have to respect that because we should live together. Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of establishing myself everywhere. That's what the United States is meant after many years. After breaking the South, this thing that they said we do not want because they wanted to preserve their privileges and have slaves in the South. You know, my success for the Civil Rights War in the country, it was the fact that actually the South was able to understand that they can never continue to be what they are. That is the South and maintain part of the United States of America, slave for longer. That's what is important for me. That's what is, you see what I mean? And I stand on the shoulders of those who were able, whether you are talking of those who fought, what, taking the arms, and Nat Turner, he's a hero. Why don't you want me to celebrate him? I will celebrate Nat Turner. Yes, I will celebrate, I talked to him a while ago. What did he do? The other one, who is the opposite of Martin Luther King. You see what I mean? No. Country diverse is something positive for a nation. My friend, let me tell you, ask you this. If you were to wake up one morning eat only McDonald's, dress only McDonald's, speak only McDonald's, will you be happy?
Come on. No, sir.
As an individual, even your eyes does not see one color. Your creator made you so marvelous that your eyes can able to, when you are looking in front of me, and I'm looking the picture in my, I look like, I don't know, myriads of colors in front of me. It makes me happy. That's what diversity is. And we should accept the fact that the negative aspect of people coming together through slavery, colonization, that negative of different trend together, it's part of history. But when you brought me under the ship and, you know, with chains, and I'm here today, and I look at you, I'm telling you, and you say you have the right, only you, to be in the White House, I tell you, no way. The White House belongs to me.
Let me ask you this. How hopeful are you when you look at history? When you look at, I mean, I know you know history. I know that you know about pre-colonialism, post-colonialism in Africa. I know you know about the history of the United States. And inherent in the conquerors, there may be certain things for such as fear. There may be certain things such as greed. There may be a lot of different things that you can point to, you know, if in the conquering nations or conquering people, shall I say. And when viewed from a historical lens, moving forward to the present, what is your hope for? Are you hopeful for the future based upon what you see, based upon any progress or lack thereof? Do you see, are you hopeful that things are going?
Jovan, I am hopeful. And I'm not hoping, basing my hope from religious perspective only. And I'm not hopeful, basing myself on one aspect of only. Hopeful what human beings are capable of doing positively for themselves, new discoveries and so on. Believe me, with the advance of new technology, it's the fact that you and myself as human beings, what actually is good in us is those values, imaginations to create things new that are positive, that can move people together. Who would have believed that my mother, in a village where there is no electricity and so on in Africa, and I can call her, she's in the farm, and she put her hand in her pocket and remove her cell phone, just press the button and see me and talk to me. Who would have believed that at the time that African American were used like horse and to pull everything? Yes, I have hope. I have hope that we as human beings, we are always creating good things. I have somebody who wants to call, but you are not accepting the person. What's going on, Javenza? Okay, you have callers who are complaining that they want to talk, but you are not letting them call. Hello?
I'm here.
Hello? There, yes. There are, I see a few, I don't know what's happening, three or four people who are asking, but what's going on? I want to call. Okay, what I'm simply saying is, do I have hope? Yes, I have hope in human beings, in you. Come on, yesterday, Javenza, I was small because I didn't know you. And it is through new technology that I know you. It's through what a human being is capable of doing that I know you. But at the same time, we have to preserve what is necessary, because progress without preserving is very dangerous. So I'm very hopeful. I'm hopeful because as we move forward, we would be able to invent or to find more things that can make life easy for people. Yes, am I hopeful? Yes, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because the new technology or new fundings has enabled my brothers and sisters who in the United States for 40 years did not know what ethnic group they belong to. But today, mm-hmm. through DNA and so on and so forth, they can become or they can trace their ethnic group back home. Yes, am I hopeful? Yes, I'm hopeful. To let those who continue to persist that because of the false construction of the society, they have the privilege and only the privilege they can have it together. And I say that's going to wrong. So hopeful for what a man is capable to do for mine, that I cannot be an island, you cannot be an island. Hopeful on the fact that Europe, that Africa, that all the continents, they need one another, cannot be happy alone. Just look at the rush of the people coming in this country. It's because America has played, like many other European countries, has played the role of exploiting poor people to be better. No, I'm simply saying is I'm hopeful that because of new discovery, new technologies, and because of the preservation of how will I say, who we are, where we are, we come from, we are able to continue to live. Not like animals at some time, because when you see the Nazi people, the way they treated the Jewish people, that was just presenting us as animals. When you see the Eurocentric people who treated my people, sold them, and so on, that would be just as if we were not human beings, etc. But because of
so let me give the number to the people online that are listening. I just want to make sure that they have an opportunity to join the conversation. If you're listening online, the call-in number is area code 515-605-9727. Again, that's 515-605-9727. All you have to do is call in, press 1. That will alert me that you have a question or a comment you'd like to speak with Professor Doho, and I can bring you online. My special guest today is Professor Gilbert Doho. He's professor of Francophone Studies at Case Western University in Cleveland, Ohio. We're talking about ethnicity and nation building in Francophone Africa. Professor, let's talk about a topic for a moment, because you mentioned that you're hopeful in what man is capable of doing, and I'm sure that any discussion about nation building, and we can't really talk about possibly Africa even without talking about God. God becomes the elephant in the room, for lack of a better term, because, you know, when it comes to building a society and, you know, a nation, inherent in the African mind is the concept of a higher power, a higher being, for lack of a better term, that is the sustainer and governor of all that is. Okay, and so in many cultures, you know, the whole society is built or inherent in the laws, inherent in the principles that govern and make up the society, there's the concept of God. So when we talk about nation building, from your perspective, what role would you say that God plays, or do you feel that it's a political issue and not something where, because some people say you have to separate, you know, religion from politics. What are your thoughts?
I mean, let's be honest. Every human being believes in something. Religion is not necessarily what is declared. Catholic or revealed religion and so on, or Protestant or this and that. Religion is also what you believe. You can call the fact of simply believing in the value of a human being, it's a belief. So what I'm simply saying is, without eliminating the power of religion, that was used negatively at one point and also positively at one point without eliminating it. Now, let those who really feel that they are good in religion, let them embrace their faith. But if your faith is to say that I'm not a person, it becomes a problem. And I'm not going to teach you that. What I'm teaching you is the value of a human being that is in you. My religion, what I do believe profoundly, is you, Jovenza. It's not your religious denomination and so on and so forth that is valuable. It's that when you, okay, because you feel like eating, and that sometimes you want to, you like a beef or something, and that you want to kill a cow and so on. Don't just kill it as if it was simply to feel a greed in you. You kill an elephant just to have a tusk and leave the whole body rotting over there. That's what is despicable into, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So what I mean is, why are we here? Who are, what is life? Is it having billions in the account, or being at the head of a religious congregation where people consider me as the Pope, etc.? That's not very important, man. A Pope is, no, that's not very important. If a Pope uses his religious domination in order to acquire more power to dominate other people and manipulate, therefore he doesn't deserve to live. You see, if a Pope believes in a human being, that you, the, his denomination has no right to dehumanize a human, a portion of human being because of their color of skin, because of their, I don't know, gender and so on and so forth. Then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So from that perspective, we have to be open. I'm not imposing you to be what you are. I'm not choosing you a particular religion for you. But today, in order to do what actually the French people or all the other people, you know, consider those as fake Muslim terrorists, these are that, why at the same time, no, come on, give up. Just because you have the power of money, the power of knowledge, and so on and so forth, you are able to stand up and decree that other people are monsters and so on. That's wrong. That's a false.
So do you?
So what? Do you think all what we believe in, all what we believe in, whether it's religion or non-religion, if it doesn't place humanity is at the center of everything, it's nothing.
So do you think that we could be missing? Do you think that we could be missing it as a quote human end quote species? I mean, because many of the arguments or disagreements, you know, between people are based on, you know, I'm this or I'm that, you know, people taking pride in their flag, you know, I'm from this country, I'm from that country, I'm of this race, you're of that race, you know, but we breathe the same air, we all have to eat, our blood is red, you know, there are so many things that we have in common, and when we start to, you know, distinguish, make these distinctions between ourselves based on race, color, you know, sex, whatever these things are, and miss it, you know, and because you touched on it earlier, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of all of this? I mean, because we get distracted by, you know, these divisions, you know, and, you know, we get caught up in these life and death struggles, you know, over these divisions. So, I mean, do you think that we could miss, that many people are missing the whole point when we don't ask that very important question that you raised, which is, what is the purpose of living? What is the purpose? And once we get to that purpose, And if we can establish that the purpose of living is the same for all, and we use that as a basis from which to now build a nation, you know, then, you know, we might get further.
And now we are coming almost to the conclusion of what we've just been saying. What does it mean to be an African American, to be a Native American, to be a Caucasian American? Does it mean that consider the Native American as something that is nothing and that should be like an African American or Caucasian American? If that is my purpose as the professor of the humanities and having created an ethnic studies program, if that is my purpose, therefore, I don't deserve to even live. Okay? What I'm saying is, teaching your religion, teaching your ethnic groups, be something that brings you to realize that your religion has something positive, one, for you, but also for the other people who do not accept your religion. Mm-hmm. And because of that positive thing that make you say, okay, I'm proud of this, and that can be good for another person, your religion, yourself, your ethnic group asks you, demand of you, that you do not impose even that positive aspect to the other person who is not of your ethnic group. You get my point?
Mm-hmm.
You get my point?
Yes, absolutely.
You get my point?
Correctly.
Tolerant,
definitely.
Tolerant, my friend. My ethnic group does not authorize me to raise up, seize the power, or seize what belongs to all of us, and then bring other people to say, well, they have no right to be where I am. No. My religion doesn't authorize me to stand up and say, you know what, my religion is the only gate to heaven. If you are not of me, you are nothing, etc. No. I can go on and on and on and tell you. If you see it the other way around, you will be exactly like Hitler. Hitler said, okay, I'm of the Aryan race, and we, the Aryan race, we are the best in the world. But we've realized that Germany is just a little space for we, the Aryan race. It will invade France. It will invade Germany. Oh, no. It's not only France. It will go and invade the whole world. It will be good for us, the little tiny groups of the Aryan race, who will live far more better. Come on. Give me a break. How much?
Everybody, my special guest today is Professor Gilbert Boho. We're having an awesome discussion today about, oh my God, ethnicity and nation building in Francophone Africa. We've got a few minutes left, so if you want to make a comment, you still have time. If you'd like to say hi, just to make a comment or ask a question, the call-in number is 515-605-9727. Professor, in the remaining moments that we have, I'd like to talk about the role of women in nation building. You have some countries, some cultures where women are exalted. I mean, they share in the, you know, in power. I mean, it's not a crime for a woman to lead the nation. In others, you have situations where women are never allowed to hold public office or even have certain human rights even taken from them. What would you say the role of women is in nation building?
Oh, my God. Thank you very much. You enable me to pay tribute to the four wonderful women who, in my native Funda of Cameroon, enable me to continue and have the quintessences of education as far as the Sorbonne in France. I'm talking of my grandmother. When I was just a little thing and my mother has a cancer, she used her bread. I say my grandmother, Manku, and she used her breast, which has no, and she would put her breast in my mouth. And when I start sucking her, my breast, her breast, she will remove her breast and put the banana in my mouth, and I survive. I talked of my grandmother, I talked of my mother, and I talked of my aunt. All these four women were wonderful. I talked of my wife, Mercy Doho, and then of my wonderful four girls, Jemima Doho, Corinne Doho, Lucien Doho, who, by the way, has just got her nurse practitioner exams, and then Vanessa Doho, my beloved one.
Mm-hmm.
I think of my excellent and beautiful, wonderful mentors in the United States of America. Can I talk to Eloise Breer, my wonderful friends, Cheryl Tolman, and so on. All these are women. Jovenza, all my life, I've been surrounded by wonderful women who have pulled me up to be where I am. Now, let me say this. We have history, writing, and so on about the power of women in Africa. We say female genital mutilation and all that tradition has oppressed them in so much that they have nothing and they cannot say anything. I say that is probably a wrong perception. Maybe we have to reconsider the place of women within nation building in Francophone or in Africa in general. We have to reconsider their role and see that they have carried the world on their shoulders, because they don't only give birth to the world, they sustain life. And they go on. What I'm simply saying is, if you see, when I grew up seeing my men are always gone, women are always back there, sustaining families, bringing children to grow up. They are the rocks of the family. Do they have power? It's another program that I would like us to say. But let me finish by probably singing a song that my mother, who died on the 3rd of January 2019, who was an excellent poet, who was a very businessman, and who carried my father a compound on his shoulder. He paid the taxes of my father to the colonial masters and so on, who was a something, etc. She inspired a lot of people. My mother was kind of rock, and she was a poet, and she taught me oral literature. And 5 years before she died, she moved from her members of her family to her family, and when she went there, she would teach a song to what has become a kind of leitmotif in When We Meet Together. And please accept me to give you that song. What does it mean? Whatever your position, whatever what you have suffered, whether in the family, in the group of friends, whatever what other people have done to you, Do not get angry. Do not hold grudge to people. Have a positive vision. Erase from your thinking. Erase from your acting. Grudging. Hatred. So, Joanza, even though my people have been deliberately through two ignoble systems, slavery and colonization, brought to the position of object, they have value in them, resilience, party, and from that perspective, they have nothing to envy from the oppressor because they resisted. Jovanza, it's a little child that was singing at the time that the French was colonizing our country. I never dreamed I would ever come to America and have a friend like you. And here I am, facing my people, having gone through the horrible, horrendous period of slavery, through what you call the Civil War, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, Civil Rights Movement, and whatnot. But what is possible is my people standing up. We shall overcome. My brother. My friend.
My brother. My friend. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I love the song. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to learn it and I'm going to sing it. I love the meaning. I love the meaning. And to for you to share the women in your life with us is very special. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that your mother, the lessons that your mother taught you, your aunts, your friends. I really, truly am honored to have you as a friend and a guest. I just received a text. One of the listeners to the show says, "Amen." So it's my beloved, it's my beloved cousin, Marcia. Thank you so much, my sister, for listening. She's one of my rocks as well, and I'm very, very humbled and fortunate to be able to absorb her energy as well. And I think sometimes as men, it's easy to, because men are in most cases, the stronger sex, and women are, quote, end quote, viewed as the weaker sex. Women are strong. Women are strong. And if it weren't for, we've had this discussion, there would be no men if there were no women. There would be no men because every man has come through a woman. And so to all of the women that are listening, we honor you and we thank you for everything that you do for us and for the planet. Professor Doho, I just again want to thank you, and everybody, I just want you to know that get ready because we've got some more shows coming up. We've got a very, very powerful show that we're planning with Professor Doho. We're going to be talking about kingship and kinship in Africa, the exemplarity of grass fields kingdoms. Okay, so if you are into and would like to learn more about kings and kinship, in Africa and the exemplary of the grass fields kingdoms, which when you say grass fields, you're speaking specifically of the Tikar kingdoms, correct, Professor?
Yes, definitely. And if you really want, if you have been convinced and you have been kind of brainwashed to the fact that women are the nothingness of the society and that they've not all come to that program and that you will understand that you can never be a king unless a woman enables you to become a king.
Well, everybody, get ready. I'm going to keep you posted. I'll let you know when that show is going to be. Professor, again, thank you so much. Any closing words for our listeners today? You've really given us a lot. I mean, we've learned so much talking about ethnicity and nation building in Francophone Africa. Any parting words for our listeners today?
Yeah, the thing is, what I can say is simple. Do you know your roots? Do you know where you're from? Are you proud of your people? It's from that perspective that you can empower yourself, build the identity that enables you to navigate in this complex nation that we call the United States of America, in the complex nations, in the continents of Africa and other continents, in the complex nations of Europe. What does it mean to be a Frenchman? What does it mean to be a British man today? It's wrong for extreme right to believe that the French identity is what is. What does it mean to be a Frenchman today? Okay, all those past reality are being deconstructed because of the meshing and going and coming together of various people living together. It's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live it. We have to be part of it. And for you to be strong, know who you are, know where you're from.
Everybody, that is Professor Gilbert Doho. He's a special guest of mine, and he's going to be a regular on Juwanza for Life. So get ready. Spread the word, everybody. And by the way, you can follow the show. All you have to do is just click follow if you're listening online, and that means every time I do a show, you'll be notified of the date of the show, the time, the guest, and the topic, okay? And instead of trying to remember everything that you just heard Professor Doho discuss today, you can just share the link on your social media. You can share it on Facebook. You can share the link on Twitter. I mean, you can just share it, okay? And that way, if you have friends that are of like minds and they like this information like you do, then you can share it with them and they can get the benefit of sitting at Professor's feet like we did today. So, Professor, again, I thank you so much for your time. To all of my listeners, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend it with my person and Professor Doho. It's truly an honor, Professor, and I look forward to our next interview, sir. Again, great, great information. Thank you for being my guest.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
You're very welcome, everybody. My name is Juwanza. That is Professor Gilbert Doho. Again, spread the word. He's a professor at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and we're very, very fortunate to have him as a regular now on Juwanza for Life. I don't take it for granted that you couldn't be doing something else, so I thank you so much for your time. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.